Welcome to Small City, Big Stories, the podcast celebrating the people and projects driving downtown North Adams forward.
Hey everyone, welcome to Small City, Big Stories, brought to you by the North Adams Partnership. I'm your host, Jenny Wright, Executive Director of the North Adams Partnership. Each episode, we celebrate the people and projects driving downtown North Adams forward. Today, we are joined by Chef Xavier Jones, culinary creative, community builder, and the mastermind behind Big Daddy's Philly Steakhouse, who believes that great food brings people together. First of all, how was that intro? We've had no chance to talk because you stepped in at the last second to be here. So are you good with that?
Yes, I am.
All right, good. Thank you so much for being here on short notice. I thought cheesesteaks would make a great summer conversation, but here we are in March. Feels like summer out there. So we had this conversation a little bit in the lobby, but you're from Philly.
Yes.
Studied in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I'm from Altoona. So the burning question for me is, what were the comfort foods that you grew up with in Philly? What do you connect most with from when you were a kid?
Well, as a African American, you know, our comfort foods are traditional. In a household of fried chicken and smothered pork chops, Big Mac and cheese, sweet potatoes, collard greens, you know, fried cabbage. Those were the comfort foods that were the go-to.
Was that the case when you moved to Pittsburgh? Because you were older when you went to Pittsburgh to school, right?
Yeah, when I went to Pittsburgh, it was totally different. I ate like a college kid. I was in college, and I did no cooking unless I was in class. So all my cooking was under training, not freelance. And the cuisine was totally different.
Sure. So I'm going to tell you what mine was, and let me know if this rings any bells. I grew up on tuna noodle casserole, and I ate that, I mean, it's a casserole, so it's in a tray. It's a bunch of cans of stuff with potato chips on top, and you throw it in the oven. What temperature? Nobody knows, just until it's done. But when I moved to D.C. for college, I made it for some of my roommates and friends, and they wouldn't touch it. And now, like, as an adult, I would say, like, well, you don't know what tuna noodle casserole is. What's wrong with you? But I was mortified. And so I wondered if you had any experiences from, you know, your childhood, going to culinary school, and thinking about how food connects differently with different people depending on where you grew up?
When I got to college, I had four roommates. They were all white. And for some reason, second semester, they moved me out of that room. And I was young, so I never paid attention to why. But they moved me out of that room into a different room with three black college students. So my first semester was like, you know, just trying to learn everything, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get acquainted and people that you're sleeping in a dorm room with, just understanding who they are, their culture, their background. It was really no shared food. I think the only shared experience that we had was football. But then when I moved to my other, you know, it was more of a comfort. Okay. So it was more of a comfort. You had more to talk about coming from, you know, three to four individuals who come from the same type of backgrounds, who ate the same comfort food, that kind of dealt with the same things and the same struggles that you dealt with. No, I didn't have an experience like that.
Did you always know that cooking was your thing, or did you come into that kind of gradually over time?
I wanted to be a meteorologist.
Really?
I was really in love with science, really in love with studying weather patterns, clouds, what they meant. When I was in 12th grade, I was struggling in school. And I was always in a program called HRT, which is Hotel, Restaurant, and Tourism. Mm-hmm. And we traveled to many hotels, many restaurants, learned about the hospitality world, but still cooking wasn't my thing. It wasn't until 12th grade when I took the cooking class, I had a chef who gave me the opportunity. And he said, listen, son, you're good at what you do. He said, your hand to eye detail, your flavors, you pay attention, you know when food is done and how to season. But I had no cooking experience. But when you have a gift, you have a gift. Your gift doesn't have to be taught. It just needs a lane to be operated.
And a mentor, it sounds like, too, right?
Yeah.
So that did that person kind of help you understand, like, what your options were once you realized that you had this talent?
I wasn't trying to go to college. I was told at a young age I'll probably never graduate high school. So graduating high school was my only focus. That's all I wanted to do. And he said, listen, I know a school that you can go to that's here in the state that offers the best culinary art program around. If I can get you connected, would you go? And I said, yeah. Never thought about it, but yeah. So he made some phone calls, got me connected. My father did all the paperwork. You know, months later, I'm at Le Cordon Bleu, which is the number one culinary art school in the world. It's a great program.
And you were there, and did you spend some time in Pittsburgh after college, or did you go into the workforce after that?
Right after college, after you finish all your the right classes that you had to do, you finish those, you had to do an internship. So I applied at you had to apply at 7 different schools. You had to be hired by 4. I applied at 7, got hired by 5. One of the schools that I got hired by was called the Red Lion Inn, which is the oldest active hotel in America. They offered room and board. Never been to Massachusetts, so I came right here.
So talk about transition. I mean, you're a Black man from Philly, and your first step out of Pennsylvania is Stockbridge, Massachusetts. I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, talk about a culture shift. So what was that like when you moved to the Berkshires and started working in a much smaller community?
That's a good question. I'm in the process of writing a book, and half the chapter is about my first day here in Massachusetts, which was emotionally the coldest day I've had on earth. Rotted into the Berkshires, small, quaint town of Stockbridge, summer of 2002, summer of 2002 coming into the Berkshires, I was in shock. I come from concrete jungle, big city, big lights. I remember riding up to the corner of Elm and Route 7, and there was a crossing guard there. And we asked him, where's the Red Lion Inn? He sported a big grin and said, about 200 feet down on your left. Me and my father looked at each other and said, damn, you know. But as we pulled up to the Red Lion Inn, I looked around, there was no one that looked like me, no one. And, you know, the cold looks and the stares of like, why are they here? Where they come from? Or who are they? It kind of gave you that feeling like, all right, I just want to turn back around. The comfort was the guy that I interviewed, which was Doug Luff, and I did a phone interview, so I never met him.
Okay.
It was the only phone interview that I did, and it was the one job that I picked at a person that I never met.
Wow.
So he had a great personality. He was looking forward to it. We gelled. He made life good for me, but, you know, I lived at the Red Lion Inn, you know, only Black man in town. It was a little rough in the beginning, but I knew that with all the prayers from my mom and my grandmom and the struggle working hard from my father, that there was no turning back, that I had to go through and finish what their sacrifices were. I had to follow through.
And how long were you there at the Red Lion Inn?
I was at the Red Lion Inn on and off for 2 years. I would go home in the wintertime, and then they wanted me to come back to work the spring, summer, fall. So I did an internship, which was 40 hours, 10 weeks or 40 hours, 400 hours, I'm sorry.
Okay.
10 weeks, whichever one came first, you know. And then they kept me longer. And then they asked me to come back in the spring of 03, then the spring of 04.
Okay. So then after 04, did you stay in the Berkshires? Did you go back home?
I went back to Philly.
Okay.
Then I left and I did some traveling. I had some connections over in Europe. I went to Spain and Italy for 4 weeks where I worked for free and just learning, just being in the back in the kitchen and learning different sauces and different techniques. Then I came back home and couldn't find a job at a regular restaurant right away. So I became a corporate trainer for Longhorn Steakhouse where I traveled opening up restaurants for them. And then I went to this place called World Cafe Live where at the age of 22, I got my first executive chef position.
Wow, 22.
I worked there for almost a year, got fired. It's my first job. Had no clue what I was doing. And then Doug Luff, who was the chef at the Red Lion Inn, who trained me, was working with, had partnered up with a couple who were opening up a restaurant in Pittsfield called Spice.
Oh, yeah. I remember Spice. That was right around the time we moved here from D.C. in 2006. So now which iteration of Spice was this? Was this,
this the one? Original Spice. We opened up March 12th of 2006. It became J Spice in July of 2008. And then it became Dragon Spice about 3 years after that.
Right. And were you there for the whole time throughout those transitions?
So I was the sous chef at the original Spice. And then I pretty much was the sous chef. I ran the kitchen under J Spice.
Okay.
I left there. They couldn't afford. I was growing. They couldn't afford to keep me, well, to take me to a higher salary. So I left there and I teamed up with Damasio's, where I helped them open up and restructure their whole line where in their new location on Pittsfield Lenox Road.
Which is busy 100% of the time. I don't think I've ever seen that parking lot empty whenever I drive past. It's fantastic. So, okay, so you're in Pittsfield for a little while. What brought you to North Adams? Did you sort of migrate farther north, or was it something in particular that brought you up there?
After I left Mazio's, I helped a lady named Donna Rochelle open up a restaurant called Perigee, which was a Jewish restaurant on 102 in Lee.
Okay.
102 in Lee. Worked there for a little bit, and then I left the area. Went to Chicopee, worked at a restaurant out there, went to Northampton, worked at a restaurant out there, and then I left the state and went to Saratoga Springs, where at that point, I was able to put everything together to really tone my skills. And I also worked in East Longmeadow because I learned all the cooking, but I was training myself to open up my own place. So I needed to learn P&L.
Mm-hmm.
Profit and loss. Learn really the back of the house of the business. I came back to Massachusetts is when I opened up Patty's Bistro in Dalton. And then from there, I decided, okay, it's time for me to do my own. Teamed up with Dave Borelli. I opened up On a Roll Cafe on Pittsfield Lenox Road. And then from there on, I went solo. I came to Adams, and I opened up Big Daddy's Philly Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And that went on for 2 years. Then I opened up Big Daddy's in Pittsfield. I had that. My father died in 2019. So when my father died, I walked away from the restaurant business completely. Became a school teacher where I worked at Reed Middle School teaching DBT, which is dialectic behavior therapy, an adolescent form of psychology. And then COVID came,
mm-hmm.
and I came back to Adams. And when I came back to Adams is when I opened up the Firehouse Cafe. And then I met this young lady named Jenny, who dined at the Firehouse, and a few months later gave me a call and said, "Hey, you should come up to Mad Smoker. I want to give you a tour." And I came up, and she gave me a tour, and she showed me two restaurants that were both unoccupied and told me that I had a choice if I was interested in either one. And I picked, which used to be A-OK, the guard house. I walked in, I seen what it was, and I said, "I'm going to bring my father's dream back." In 2006, when my father brought me up here, when I moved up to Pittsfield for good, in 2006, my father said, when you make it, which I know you will, because you have that in you, I want you to open up a cheesesteak and hoagie shop and show the Berkshires what a real sandwich is." And so when I originally opened up Big Daddy's in 2016, that was it. So I, with my father passing and the opportunity was at hand, and I had my dream, which was the Firehouse. I had my dream of cooking. So I said, "I'm going to bring back his." And we in year four now.
Well, we thank you both for your service because, yeah, I mean, there is a menu item that I want to get to in a minute. But before we go there, and you know me, you know what this menu item is. I want to go back to your teaching experience, if we may, because that, I mean, we haven't touched on that at all. We're talking about culinary school and we're talking about opening restaurants. But one of the things that stands out to me as you're talking is this kind of recurring theme of mentorship between Chef Luff, between your dad. Is that something that factored into your decision to go be a teacher? How do those connections happen, and what was that job like for you?
When I was young, I needed somebody to help me along the way in life, and I didn't have that. My father wasn't always there. He was too busy working. And he was, you know, work. So I didn't have that guidance. So my grandma always told me, she said, "Baby, when you get older, become what you needed when you was young." And I needed somebody to look up to, somebody to sit down and tell me my right from my wrong, somebody to show me how to overcome the adversity, somebody to lead me and guide me and to say, "Okay, I know you're emotional right now, but take a step back. Let me show you. Don't allow your emotions to take over." You know, somebody to just help me stay on the right path. So I became that. And through hardship, through trials, tribulations, weariness, feeling depleted, feeling defeated by life, through being homeless, all those things gave me a skill set to help the minds that were weak or abused, battered, broken, torn by the scars and journeys of life. And I started a mentoring program, and I was mentoring youth through my restaurant. My restaurant became my platform of mentoring young adults, mentoring youth, and just showing them, okay, there's a different way of doing it. Doing a podcast in 2017, the superintendent of Pittsfield was listening. He was listening to the podcast was live. He gave me a call after that and asked me if I would come into the schools to help out. I went into Taconic. And then in Taconic is where I did a mentoring program for 12th graders. Then from there, they had a situation of bullying and with Taconic and Reed Middle School. So he asked me if I would come to Reed. So I went to Reed. The next year, they asked me if I would come as a full-time employee. They knew that the restaurant had just closed. So it was an opportunity to grab me full time with no distractions. So I stepped into Reed, where I implemented a program just structuring around changing mindset, structuring about around being able to look at life different. So I loved it. My goal was to bridge the gap between teacher and parent and teacher and student. And that's what I did.
Well, that line that your grandma said is going to stick with me forever now. And I want you to just say it again so that I have it right. But it was something like, be the person that you needed. And I can't think of a person in my life that couldn't apply to. I mean, just thinking about universal themes that can apply to everyone. I mean, that just seems like we could all do something about that. We could all learn from that. And I'm sure that the kids got that from you, the kids that you work with. Do you still work with kids at all? Mentor kids?
Yes. So I work with 18 Degrees.
Oh, sure.
So, and I teach a culinary arts school class. So with that class, I teach social emotional learning. I focus on the quotients that the school system don't focus on, which is emotional adversity, special intelligence, and creativity. The school system is all about IQ. But, you know, when you can't overcome adversity because you're emotionally distraught, you know, you don't care about this lesson that this teacher is trying to teach. So I focus on that. And with young adults who, you know, who are just battered by life, they have this poor me mentality. And I try to teach them that to take their stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stones. And so it's all about transformation. How we use these raw ingredients, these spices, and we transform into a beautiful plate is how you can take what you have right now in life, and if you just learn how to navigate through it and how to overcome and how to fight through it, then you can make something out of it. Because that's what I'm doing. I took the fact that I was homeless, the fact that I was poor, the fact that I was mentally and psychologically abused as a kid, and I'm taking all the things that was brought to me to break me to help you out. And so I try to teach them to do the same thing.
Well, I have goosebumps. And the restaurant business is notorious for being unsustainable, so difficult. I mean, I don't watch The Bear, but I know of it, and I've worked in the restaurant business. And it's like, you, first of all, you have a runway of 2 years before you can even break even. And then it's just touch and go for the rest of your life, basically, is kind of the take home that I had. And so I'm curious to know, when you're working with kids that have difficult backgrounds and you're working in the restaurant business, what type of advice do you give kids who really want to shoot their shot and try something and start a business, especially considering the particular business that you chose for yourself, which is, you know, so difficult?
Your gift will make room for you. Your gift will make room for you. I tell anybody that wants to do something, when you operate in your gift is what you do with the least amount of effort. Don't operate in the next person's lane. Don't try to be the best barber, make the best hair, cook the best food, you know, be the best artist, try to sing better than somebody. Just operate in what you have. And when you operate in your have, doors will open up. The stages will be built. The platforms will be prepared for you. Because when you have a gift, there's somebody that needs what you have, want what you have, and there's somebody that will prepare that stage. So I tell people, I say, go for it. One of the biggest advice I can give people is cut out all the chatter. Pray for discernment. Follow your instincts and your gut. Your closest people in life, your family, are the ones who will put a cap and a ceiling on how far you can go. When you have a goal and you have a dream and you have a vision, remember, a vision is just a small glimpse of an upcoming attraction in your life. Go for it. Whatever desire that you have, go for it. Because you'll never know. Failure is not a life, something that you don't become a failure. A failure is just an event. Mm-hmm. We're all going to fail at something. So if you fail, guess what? Try it again. try it again. I am on my sixth restaurant that I've opened up. Mm-hmm. I'm not stopping, you know?
Yeah, you've walked the walk of everything that you're saying. And there's no easy way for me to get to this, but I can't let you go without talking about the falafel burger. I just can't do it. And I want everyone who might be listening to this to understand this is not just a vegetarian option at a steakhouse, because we all know that there are vegetarians in the group that don't eat meat. This transcends both burger and falafel wrap. It's neither, and yet it's better than both. I don't know how else to describe it. It is absolute perfection. I want every single person listening to this to go to Big Daddy's and order the falafel burger. If you see something else on the menu, by all means, order that too. But you haven't lived your fullest life without having tried this burger. I need you to know that. I need to tell that to your face. I've already told that to your Google review. And on that note, is there anything, what do you want people to know about Big Daddy's?
Big Daddy's is all about community outreach and uplifting the community and supporting the community. And I come from nothing. I come from the only thing that we have was prayer and a belief in God. And that's what got us through. And, you know, I look around at certain communities and I see certain people and I see where they need help and they need support. And that's what we stand for. We stand for the proper, just the outreach, just engaging, you know. And we exalt what needs to be exalted. We try our best to equip the community with love and support, and we engage with the community. We're more than just food. Big Daddy's Philly Steakhouse is more than just coming to get the best cheesesteak around, the best falafel that you're ever going to taste. We're more than that. From backpack to giveaways, to cancer drives, to turkey dinners, to, you know, pumpkin carving every year. You know, we are just whatever the community needs, feeding the homeless, serving them. However, we're here for the cause.
Well, I wish we had 2 more hours to keep talking. It's already been 30 minutes. I'm so glad you were here. Go to Big Daddy's, enjoy a cheesesteak, enjoy a falafel burger. But also get to know the business. Do you have social media accounts? They've done so much for the community over the years. And, you know, it's really important that we showcase not just the businesses that have incredible services and products, but the ones who are really giving back to the community. And Big Daddy certainly does that. So thank you, everyone. Thanks for listening to Small City Big Stories. This podcast is hosted by the Northern Berkshire Community Television Corporation and produced by the North Adams Partnership. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share it with a friend, and join us next time as we continue telling the stories of community, creativity, and resilience in North Adams.